Thank you for tuning in to the Mount Holly Podcast. We pray that this week's sermon will encourage and inspire you. If it's your first time tuning in, or if you're interested in learning more about Mount Holly, please stay tuned after the sermon for more information. We're so glad you're tuning in today. Now here's this week's sermon from Pastor Jeff Maxwell.
Today on Father's Day, I want to share a message entitled, The Power of a Committed Father. The Power of a Committed Father. Now this message is not entirely devoted to dad, just going to minister to every one of us. But I am going to key on men and dads from the early church and point them out just a little specifically. You'll see that in a moment. But don't tune me out if you're not a dad, okay? This is for all of us today. Reading Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 42, it says, "And they continued steadfastly." In the Message version, it says, committed, and they continued steadfastly, or in other words, they were committed in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all of the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Last Sunday, we celebrated the day of Pentecost. In fact, I preached about the power of Pentecost. How many knows today after reading the scripture, after Pentecost, there were many incredible things that happened after that initial outpouring? I'm glad to report to you today that Pentecost Sunday was not the ending of a thing. It was the beginning of a thing. It was the birthday of the church. In other words, I'm trying to tell you today, we have not come to the end of the thing. I believe we're just getting started. Come on, somebody. I believe the best is still yet to come. I believe there's still power for us today. Praise God. After the outpouring, things begin to happen in the early church. Souls were saved. Incredible growth took place. Supernatural power and results took place. But what I want to focus on for just a moment on this Sunday, on this special Father's Day Sunday, is the emergence or the stepping up or coming out of mighty men that emerged in the early church after the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. If you'll read the Bible and think about what I read in Acts 2 today, you will see that the apostles and men of God came out of that upper room different men. They were men who were passionate. They were men who were filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. They were men who became radical. They were men who got on fire for Jesus. After they encountered the Holy Ghost, they become something brand new. These men became unstoppable. They would be greatly used by God. And I want you to listen to me. A real encounter with the Holy Ghost can change a man, but it can also change a woman or a young man or a teenager or even a child. Come on, somebody. How many has ever encountered the Holy Ghost and after that encounter you are different for the good? If so, give him a shout of praise right there. Hallelujah. For about the next 2.5 hours, I want to speak to you. Just kidding, making sure you're awake. Making sure you're still with me. I want to speak to you about the characteristics of the early church. And as I do, I'm going to point out to you on this Father's Day that the early church was led by some men who took on these characteristics I'm going to point out. And if we look at your neighbor and say, he's talking to you. If we, not just a dad, not just a man, but if we, the body of Christ today, would pattern ourselves off of the men of the early church, we would see powerful and amazing results today. So number one, The first characteristic about the early church I want to mention is this. The early church and the early church leaders and men were authentic. They were real. Somebody say today, real. They were genuine. This is important. One of the main things that distinguished the early church was the fact that the church was led by real, authentic leaders and men. Authentic means worthy of acceptance, worthy to be believed in. In other words, let me put it plain. These men were not fake. They were not false. Bless God, they were real. In today's society, I believe we've tried to water down and sissify the men too much. We need some real men to step back up and lead and to be bold. Come on, to be genuine and authentic. Praise God. Hallelujah. They were real. I don't know about you, but I find myself at this stage and season of my life where I like real folk. I like authentic, genuine people. I'm talking about having real relationships with people. And the early church was led by real men. These were men of integrity. Watch this. They didn't love Jesus and talk about Jesus on Sunday inside the church in front of spiritual people and then go home and act like the devil at home or on the job or on the golf course or out on the lake or on the ball field, cussing and raising up a storm and getting an attitude. Come on, somebody. No, these were real men who talked what they walked, what they taught, praise God. No matter if they were on the ball field or in the workplace or in the church house. It doesn't matter how spiritual you are at church when everybody's watching. What really matters is how you are at home when nobody's around. I'm going to go ahead and give you a little warning. This church is going to get in your business. This sermon is going to get in your business today, amen. I'm thankful for dads and husbands and men that you and I can believe in today. Men who are real and consistent, God-loving. The Bible says in Acts 4:13, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, that they marveled and they realized these must have been with Jesus. There was something about the men's relationship with Jesus that testified to the others that they were real. They had a hold of something real because they had seen the change in their lives. These were real, authentic men. The word authentic is from the same family of words as author and authority. Look, an author tells a story, and what I love about these men is that they were committed to telling the story of Jesus. They made the story about Jesus about him and not about them. And because they kept it about him, that gave them authority through him. Do you get it? They were able, because of that, to be real and to bind devils and to speak to the disease. They were able to go lay hands on the crippled and watch them rise back up again. They were able to build up great churches and do great things because these were real men who really stayed connected to the authentic, real Jesus. I believe we're living in a time where we are desperate for some real dads and some real men to rise up. Listen, our younger generation today is in this technical age. And whether I want to admit it or not, I have to reach back to them to help me with technical things. But they know this stuff. This young generation in this age, they see social media and Facebook and all of these things, and we are seeing too many today, especially on the social media, who are fake, who are false, who are counterfeits. They are telling lies and distorting the truth. Too many are making their heroes who are false and fake. They're admiring people who are not real. People who show this false perfect pretend life that they want to have, but they don't really have. And the younger generation today is eating this up and trying to rise up to copy them and to be like them. And they're out there presenting and pretending to they're fake. They're all prim and proper and dressed, got all this stuff. But if the truth be known, let me tell you, if we ever needed to combat the fake with the real, we need to do it now. A fake world needs some real men and some real dads and some real people of God, because there's something that happens when real men stand up. There's something that happens when men full of the Holy Ghost and power of God stand. A real man can look at a young person and be real. Don't have to pretend. A real person can say life isn't always easy. Sometimes it's going to get tough. Sometimes you're going to go through things you don't understand. Sometimes life's going to get pretty hard. Sometimes people are going to treat you bad. Sometimes people are going to talk about you. Sometimes people, there's going to be an injustice done. Sometimes things are going to go wrong. But a real man is not ashamed to stand up at the end of the day and say, if you will stay connected to a source that is greater than you are, and his name is Jesus, you'll be all right. Come on. Are there any real men and children of God in this house? We need some real people today. Not this pretend fake stuff. Real men who love. Real men who will raise their kids in the house of the God. Real men who are committed. Real men who are there. Heard this story the other day about a child who was adopted as a baby, and he began to grow up. This mom and dad took this baby, adopted him, brought him into their home, loved him and nurtured him, raised him from a toddler to a teenager. And when he became a teenager, one day the dad was having to admonish him and get on to him about something and redirect him and teach him. And this teenage boy said, "You're not my real dad. I don't have to listen to anything you say." Can I just respond? You know, some real dads would probably need to say, "You listen to me. I love you, number one. But you listen to me. I put a real roof over your real head. I provide those real clothes that go on your real body. I provide real food that goes into your stomach. And I've got a real car sitting out in the driveway that gets you to those real places you want to go to. And I pay those real bills so you can have a real good life. And if you're going to try to disrespect me or your mama in this house, I'll take off my real belt to your real backside. I told you, I'm going to get in your business today. You may want to vote for another pastor, but that's all right, because you're going to hear what I got to preach today." We need some realness. Somebody say real. We need some honesty and transparency. We need to hear the truth again. Listen, men. Listen, Dad. You've got to be authentic. We've got to get back to being real. Don't apologize for being a dad. Real dads are authentic, faithful. You can count on them. They'll tell you the truth. And that was like the men of the early church. That's how they led. And we need men like that today. I'm not getting on to it. I love you. I'm trying to help us today. The first characteristic from the early church is we need authentic, real men and women and teenagers and people of God. Number two, the second characteristic that stands out to me concerning men from the early church is that they were supernaturally empowered. In other words, they didn't depend on their own strength to lead. They depended on and had tapped into the power of the Holy Ghost. How many of you men are like me? It's in our nature. It's just in us, in our DNA. where we want to fix everything with our hands. We want to fix it ourselves. We want to fix problems. We want to fix things around the house. We want to fix everybody else. We want to fix our family. Come on. And some folks want to fix stuff, but they know they can't fix stuff. And when they do, they tear up stuff. And it's those folks that keep the others that can fix it in business. Amen. That's me. I tear up something trying to fix it and have to call an expert. But let me tell you today, man of God, Dad, there's going to be some times in our lives where you can't fix everything. There's going to be times in your children's lives where you can't fix them as much as you want to. And it's in these moments you need to make sure that you are tapped in and connected to a power, and that power is the Holy Ghost, and it's greater than you are, because when you can't deliver your son, God can. When you cannot deliver your daughter, my God can. When you cannot heal them when they're sick and when a fever takes over their little body, I know a God who can heal them. And you can. Oh, come on. When you can't set them free, God can. When you cannot protect them from everything, Daddy, God can. When you can't travel with them miles and miles from the home for the first, my God can get in that car. And when you can't break off addictions that hold them bound, God can. When you can't open the doors and close them, my God can today. We can't do it all and fix it all. And the early church understood that, and they knew they had to rely on the supernatural power of God to do what they could not do. I want to encourage you today. God is on our side. And if we'll depend on Him, if we'll stay connected to Him, He will bring to pass everything He promised you concerning your family and children. The early church was powerful. It was real because it was led by men who were in tune and connected with God, who had His touch on their life. And these men were powerful. Acts 2 and 3 says, there appeared unto them divided tongues as of fire that sat down on each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. See, there, these men in the early church, like Peter and James and John and Andrew and others, they had experience for themselves the power of God. I don't know about you today, but I want my children to know that I'm connected to the power of God, that I believe in the power of God, that their dad is not ashamed of the power of God. I still believe that God has the power to do divine healing and to deliver and to do miracles. The most powerful men in history and the most powerful men alive today are men who were and are connected with God, who are led by God, who are filled by the Spirit of God. Listen to me, AT&T doesn't have that power. Google doesn't have that power. The most biggest companies don't have that power. The government doesn't have that kind of power. But the church, somebody say the church, we have the power of the Holy Ghost. And let me tell you, that kind of power is unstoppable. And it is time for men, for all of us, to desire our families and our kids to experience that again. In fact, it's time to lead them to that. I heard this powerful statement recently, and it stuck with me. It's so true because it says we don't reproduce what we want. We reproduce what we are. Let me say it again. Let it sink in. We do not reproduce what we want. We reproduce what we are. And listen to me. If you're not hungry for the things of God, your kids won't be. If you're not a worshiper, your kids won't be. I remember, I watched, and I still had the pleasure of seeing it today. My parents worshiping, crying, seeking God. committed to the house of God. Listen, you will not reproduce what you want. You can't just wave a magic wand or tell your kids what you want them to do and how to act. They're watching you, Mama. They're watching you, Daddy. You're going to reproduce who you are in them and through them. And I've come to tell you today, show your kids a dad that will go after God. Show your kids a dad that is not ashamed to lift his hands and praise God. We don't reproduce what we want. We reproduce what we really are. And then number three, characteristics from the early church. We need to be genuine. We need to depend on the power of the Holy Ghost. And number three, we need some men who will be bold. Somebody say bold. Look at Acts 3:14. This is Peter. Watch it. This is the Apostle Peter speaking to the people who had just crucified Jesus. Peter is talking like this to those who just murdered Jesus on a cross. He said, "But you denied the Holy One and the just and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and you killed the Prince of Light whom God raised from the dead, at which we are all witnesses." That's pretty bold. Peter standing before the very ones who crucified Jesus, and he stands there boldly. Listen to me, church. If we ever needed bold Christian men and dads and moms and a young generation, we need some bold ones today because this world has gone crazy. We need some bold men that will be passionate, that will stand strong, that will declare God is able to do what he said he will do. Praise God. Now, I told you I'm going to get in your business today right here for a minute. Let me tell you a few traits of bold leaders today. What's a bold man of God? What's a bold dad? What's a bold mom or a woman of God? What's a bold teenager? How do they act? Let me give you two or three traits real quick. Bold men or bold people have the courage to say no. Somebody say, go ahead and say it, no. See, sometimes we have to say no. No to compromise. No to just taking it the easy way. The early church said no to compromise. And sometimes, man, you got to say no to pornography, no to drugs, no to alcohol, no to this, no to temptation, no to behavior that doesn't exemplify Christ-likeness, no to wrong opportunities. You even need to learn to say no to your children. Y'all not going to like your pastor too much right in here. Just love me anyway. Love me through this, okay? Because I love you. If not, I wouldn't preach this today, I promise you. Sometimes you got to learn to say no. You just look at them and say no. Why? Because I said so. I bet none of you ever heard that. Why? Because I said so. Can I stay out all night, Daddy? No. Can I get that new game? No. Can I get that app on my phone? No. Can I stay home from church today, Daddy? No. Listen to me, I love you, but Mom and Dad, some of you have been negotiating with a 5-year-old or a 12-year-old. Really? You better teach them. You better lead them. You better tell them, no, you're getting in the car and we're going to the house of God. We're not, there's no room to negotiate this. No. No. Can I buy those short shorts, Dad? No. Can I buy that low, low, low and behold top, Daddy? No, we're raising up a woman of God in this house. We need some dads and moms who'll get bold again and lead. Come on, I'm preaching better. You may not want to realize it today, but you know this is the truth. We need some boldness back in the parenting and in the homes, amen. Makes me want to find Cameron and Bethany right now and tell them no. I know they're grown and married. Bethany's married. Cameron's moved down. But I'm fired up. I just want to tell them no again. Any of you got some children you don't want to tell? I'll tell them no. Come on, I'm fired up right now. Hey, man, no. No. Sometimes the best thing you can do is tell them no. You're not going to get everything you want in life. No, 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 no. But my friends, no. Sometimes they'll tell you, don't you come into my room. Stay out of my your room. This ain't even your room, baby. Don't look at my phone. This is my phone. I pay for that phone. I'll open, rip it wide open, and read everything I want to on it. Oh, come on. Don't tell me that. We need some bold dads who can say no again. Children learn to hear the word no again. And I know it takes courage to say no, because it's much easier to give in to their desires and just say, oh, just have your way. Quit bothering me. But we need some parents who care enough about their children to raise them up and train them in the way they should go. And when they grow old, they will not depart from it. Amen. Hallelujah. It's easier to give in. But if you do, one day a judge will have to tell them no. One day a police officer may have to tell them no. I'd rather tell them no when they're young and train them up. Amen. Come on, lead your family. Be bold, be courageous. Second trait of being bold. Watch this. Bold men, like the early church had courage to stand for what they believed in. Listen, in this atmosphere, time in our nation of immorality, we need some bold, courageous men and women to stand up. If you look back at those who God used in great, powerful ways, amen, like at Ephesus or Corinth, and those places were filled with immorality and sin, these guys stood up, they preached, they didn't bow down, they stood for what they believed, and they built powerful, amazing, great churches during that time in those places. Listen, you've heard it said, if you don't stand for something, you're going to fall for anything. Bold men from the early church also had the courage to believe for the unbelievable. I want my kids to know that I believe for the unbelievable. Listen, when you believe for the, I heard this said recently, when you believe for the unbelievable becomes achievable. Let me say that again. When you believe for the unbelievable, that unbelievable thing can become achievable. See, we need some men to believe for the unbelievable again. We have gotten too passive. We've gotten too predictable. We've gotten too comfortable. We've gotten too lazy. Our expectors have expired. It's time for us to rise up again. If you have something that seems unbelievable, but you're here today and you'll say, today on this day, Father, I'm going to start believing for it again. I wish somebody would just give God a shout of praise right now. It's time to believe again. It's time to have faith again. It's time to believe God can do the impossible again. And those men that led the early church had that. And we need that today. Is there anybody here believing for the unbelievable? It may be your family. It may be in your business. It may be concerning your future. It may be concerning your health, your children, or whatever. But right now, you don't see it in the natural. But I've come to tell you there's something while I'm preaching that's nudging you on the inside, that's reminding you that God in you can do this through you. And as a dad today, listen, I want my kids to know that I believe in them. As your pastor today, I need you to know, teenager, adult, senior adult, young, I believe in you today. Come on, somebody. I believe in your purpose today. I believe God is on your side today. I believe the best is still yet to come for you. I believe God will make a way. I believe every promise God give you is going to come to pass. I believe your children will rise up and serve the Lord. I believe you are the head and not the tail. I believe you are a victor and not a victim. I believe you are above only and not below. I believe revival is coming to this generation. I believe a greater anointing is coming on you. If anybody believes that with your pastor, come on, give God a praise today. Hallelujah. I believe. I may not can see it in the natural right now, but there's something stirring in this little preacher today that says, God can do it, I can do it. When you believe for the unbelievable, it can become achievable. Listen, you're going to only achieve what's achievable through God if you believe. Listen, God's not going to touch something or get involved with it if you can do it on your own. If you can fix it on your own. But when it's something you can't do, when it's something that's greater than you, that's when we need to just rise up and say, okay, God, I know I'm limited, but I know through me you can do it. Hallelujah. I don't know who I'm preaching to today, but somebody has got to get out of the natural realm, get out of being bound up by only what you can do. And you need to move into the season or the realm of the Spirit and see things through God's eyes today. You need to see your children saved. Come on. Believe, see for the unbelievable. Get out of your feelings. Walk by faith, not by sight. See the unbelievable, achievable. See that marriage come together. See your health restored. See this house filled up. Come on, do you see it? Come on, look in this through God's eye. See this mortgage paid off. See these altars filled up. See revival coming. Some of you have been in a bad season, like a bad chapter of a book, but I hear the Lord saying it's time to flip the page. It's time to turn the page. It's time to believe again for the unbelievable. These men of the early church had that belief and faith that God could make a way, that God could bring it to pass. Let's review real quick. Real men from the early church were real. Somebody say real. Real men from the early church were bold. Say bold. Then I gave you two or three characteristics or traits of what being bold was then. And then the last one I want to give you as I close is the men of the early church were committed. Somebody say committed. They were loyal. They were given over to something. They were devoted. They were committed. Do you know when you're committed, and then a commitment is a dirty word these days, but when you're committed to something, you stick with it. When you're committed to something, you do it with excellence. Show up early, stay late if need be. When you're committed to something, you don't bail when it gets hard. You don't quit when your feelings get hurt. Quitting is not an option. You stay with it when it's not easy. You stay with it even when your heart's broken. You cry yourself to sleep at night. You stay with it even when you want to walk away from it. But there's something on the inside of you that says, no, I've got you there. We need dads today who are committed. They're committed to their wives. They're committed to their children. They're committed to their families. They're committed to the church again. They're committed, of course, to God. Watch this. The Bible, the scripture in Acts 2 that I read says this. They continued, say continued, steadfastly. Another word for steadfastly is committed or devoted. One thing that I want my kids, my wife, my family, and you, my church family, to know is I'm committed to you. I'm committed to this house. There's times I try to get uncommitted. There's times I try to bail, Scott. There's times I don't know if I want to do this anymore. You have same thoughts about stuff you deal with. But there's something in me says keep going, and I'm going to be committed. I'm going to stay committed. The only way I'll ever get uncommitted is if he calls me home or tells me to do something else, because I have to follow him. But you listen to me today. As long as I live, Cameron and Bethany, I'm committed to you. As long as God gives me breath, I'm committed to you. As long as God allows me to be your pastor, I'm committed to you. So you know what, kids? Get used to me. Because I'm still probably going to check on you sometimes. I'm still going to give you unsolicited, unwanted advice sometimes. I'm still going to try to protect you. I'm still going to tell you, be careful. As long as I live, I want you to be able to say, I can count on my dad. I can count on my pastor. Listen to me today. I am not a perfect man. I am not a perfect dad, nor a perfect pastor at all. I've got flaws. Stephanie, if wanted to, she could write a whole book about it, probably. But what I want my family to be able to say is, he always showed up. He was committed. He was devoted. My dad kept getting up when he got knocked down. At least he kept trying. He did what he said he was going to do. He followed through on what he had committed to and said he would do. I may not have anything to leave y'all when I go to heaven. I may not have a house to give you. I may not have any money. I may not have jewelry and diamonds and cars. But I hope you can say I was committed to you. Church, I hope you can say I've said we can find more talented, wiser, better pastors. But I hope you can say I was committed to you. That he was committed to Jesus. I want to say today, dads, I'm not here to beat you up. I'm here to encourage you. I'm here to nudge you. I'm here to help us all. Dad, the greatest thing you can do in this life for those you love is stay committed. Stay in it. Stay in the game. Keep going. Stay committed to being real. Stay committed to being bold. Stay committed to depending on God as your source of strength and power. Stay committed to your children, your wife, your marriage. Stay committed to the church that God loved, sent his son for. Stay committed most of all to him. Don't give up. I promise you this, as the title of my message, there is power in a committed dad. There is power in a committed mom. There's power in a committed child of God.
Thank you for listening to this sermon on the Mount Holly podcast. Be sure to follow so you never miss a new sermon and to get notified as soon as it's available. Mount Holly is a Christ-centered community of believers in pursuit of the living God. Whether you're a spiritual seeker or a committed Christian, exploring faith or looking for a church home, you're welcome here. We have ministries and classes designed for you and your family. Sunday service is held at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. And our midweek refuel classes meet on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern. Please head over to our website to learn more about our ministries, our pastor, and to plan your visit. Click the link in this sermon's description or go to mountholly.org. Finally, because of your generosity, we are able to continue leading people into the life-changing presence of God. If you feel led to give, click the link in the description or go to mountholly.org/give for ways you can support our ministry. Thanks again for tuning in today. Until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you, show you his kindness and have mercy on you, and watch over you and give you peace.